Blog Talk Radio.
To you, this is Professor Blog Applewhite. Talk Radio.
I need you to call into the show equipment broadcasting.
This is Professor Applewhite, student to teacher to student radio show on the internet. I welcome all of you listeners. My goodness, the listeners have jumped tremendously. There's, oh God, almost 14,000 of you out there listening to the shows, and I'm very, very proud of you. That means that something good is happening out there in the universe, and I'm proud to be part of your opportunity to grow and to learn and to become a student as well as a teacher. We have some callers on air right now, and we'll welcome them this morning. Good morning. You're on air, and this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning.
Good morning.
217?
Good morning. This is Ayanna.
Hello. Good morning, Ayanna. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Are you doing okay this morning?
Yes, I am.
It's a lovely morning. And how is that wonderful little boy you told us about on one of the shows there?
He's doing great.
Right. And we want to hear more about him. This is a great show to talk about that, because we're going to be talking about the greatest resource is you today. And one of the questions we're asking is, are we there yet? How do we know when we're really there and we're really ready to take on school and work? So I'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hello,
this is Tom Baker.
Good morning, Tom Baker. I'm so
Hi.
God, you were on the show last week, and we really appreciated all the great things you shared with us. I certainly hope that you will share some good things this week with us.
Yeah,
welcome.
I hope so. I can, too.
Boy, I mean, you're an intelligent man. You've done wonderful things with your life. And I'm sure our listeners are always happy to hear your stories, not only just about yourself, but people that you have met. I hope today you'll integrate some of that great basketball motivation stuff in talking about the greatest resources there is you. The greatest resource is you, and I'm sure you learned that in sports. But also, how do you know when you're really like a star, like, you know, you're doing really well on the court? It can't just be the points. So I want you to hold on and think about that for a minute, and I'll come back to you after we do the show description, okay?
Okay.
All righty. And looks like I lost one of the other listeners. Please call back. Let me give you our callback number for those who may be on computer. It's 1-646, dollar one first, 646-727-3758. And if you wish to contact White Apple Institute directly, that's the sponsor of the show, that telephone number is 480-471-8082. And it's on our website at whiteappleinstitute.org. We also welcome you to come into our chat session, and our chat session is starting now for those of you who may be more comfortable without going on air to talk, and you have a question or something you'd like to share, and you can go ahead and write in a chat message for us, and the chat line is open now. So today we're going to do a show called The Greatest Resource Is You, and this is part 2 of 3. So we have one more part next week on this particular subject. And today we're talking about, are we there yet? And as you heard me sharing with Ayanna just a moment ago, the are we there yet means, when do you get to that point where you've got your applications in, you're getting your feet on the floor and out of bed in the morning, and you're ready to do something different with your life. So how do you know that you're really going to make it? What turns inside of you to let you know it's okay, it's time to go? You know, sometimes it's somebody else motivating you, and that's good. But somebody else motivating you is not always the answer, because if you think about how many times people, like smoking, for instance, who stops smoking just because somebody says stop smoking? Okay? And who goes to school just because somebody says go to school? There's something inside of us that clicks and happens, and then we know we're there, we've got it. There are many resources hidden within us that can help us in the present moment. You know, you've had resources in the past, and maybe you put them away, maybe you forgot them or whatever, but they're still somewhere inside of your brain and your heart, and you remember people that have helped you, that have done things for you. So join us this morning, the staff of White Apple Institute, as people call in, join our invited guests as they explore what even elders and ancestors instilled inside of us. Oh, boy. I'll tell you about that in a minute. We wish you much love and peace as we begin our show this morning. So let's talk about this inside job, so to speak. And as you have something you want to share, don't feel like you're interrupting. Just come on into the show and just say, excuse me, I'd like to add to that, and we'll go forward. The greatest resource is you. I'd like for a moment to explore what a resource is. Now, we think of resources usually as something that you access to get information. Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me better? Okay, good, good. I thought maybe the phone was getting a little scratchy there. I did a sound check this morning, and I'm not familiar with all this technology, but I'm learning. See, that's another thing. Are we there? Am I there yet?
Do I have the technology?
I'm learning, that's right. I'm not there yet, but at least the button went on inside of me, and I said, I'm going to learn how to do this, you know, because this radio show has got to go on. That's what God tells me. But anyway, a resource, according to Webster's Dictionary, is it's like something that's available, a source of supply or support. Get that one, a source of supply or support. It's a natural source of wealth or revenue, someplace you can go, a source of information, something to which you go to get to become a better person, okay? An ability, oh, and also Webster says, it's an ability to meet and handle a situation. Isn't that interesting? So that's what a resource is supposed to be for us, not just someone handing a brochure to us and saying, call this number, because sometimes people don't even know how to look on a brochure and call a number, or they may have a learning disability or dyslexia, and you give them a brochure, and they look at the brochure, and the letters are all, you know, scrambled for them.
Take what?
Oh, okay, I understand. Okay. So the words look all scrambled on a brochure to someone who has a learning disability, but they're maybe too embarrassed to even say, well, I can't read this. Can you tell me what this says? So they take the brochure and they walk away and it gets thrown in the trash somewhere because it's not a resource that meets their situation where they can actually grow from it and becomes a supply of a supply area or support area. Any comment on that? Because I'll move forward. Okay. All right, so we have another caller in this morning, and I am looking at a 363 number. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. Good morning, 363. Good morning. All right, I'm not sure whether we have the 363 number online, but we're going to say good morning and welcome to the Student to Teacher Show. So please join us whenever you have the opportunity. Just come on in and tell us your name. Okay, well, listen, again, this resource, I want you to keep in mind that resources are not necessarily hidden. but the ones inside of us are. May, would you indulge me for a minute? Indulge your Professor Applewhite for a minute, and let me tell you a very quick story. I'll make it short, I promise. There, at the end of the world, say, okay, there were these gentlemen that were trying to handle the knowledge from their village. And in their village, it was one of the most knowledgeable villages in the world, okay? And they had these books and resources that were just marvelous, okay? Kind of like in the Jewish tradition, the Ark of the Covenant, kind of like on that level. And so they were talking back and forth about where can we hide this beautiful source of knowledge so that people won't take this knowledge and hurt themselves. Because sometimes knowledge can hurt people if they're not ready for it. Okay? They can make them feel bad, or it can actually hurt them if they don't know. That's why we encourage people to read instructions before they start messing around with something like electrical or chemical, because someone could get hurt. So
sometimes
they wanted to
memorize.
Pardon me?
Sometimes you were talking about the Ark of the Covenant and stuff. They memorize it.
Yes, they memorize it.
Nobody
else
can find it.
I sent her to the store.
You almost have the story. Right. You almost have the story there, because you're getting real close to what happened here with these gentlemen. That when they decided that, okay, we know where to hide it. We're going to hide all of this knowledge, all of these books, at the top of the highest mountain in the world, and they'll never find it there. Man will not find it and destroy themselves. Well, what if the other men said, the wise men said, no, because they will find a way to climb up to the top of the mountain, and they will access this knowledge, and they won't be ready for it. So, no, the top of the mountain's not going to work. So another one said, well, what about the deepest part of the ocean? And the other one said, no, they'll find it there, they'll build some kind of submarine and get down there and find it, and then they'll build nuclear atom bombs and everything, which we did, didn't we? So here we go, we're running around trying to find this place where this knowledge can be hidden, and the less wise one, the youngest one of all of them said, wait a minute, I know where to hide all of this knowledge. I really do. And they said, what? I said, come on, we've gone through everything. And they said, hide it within the person. Hide it within each cell. Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it.
And they will not find it, because they never look inside of themselves. And that's why the greatest resource is you, because when you begin to look inside of yourself, then a whole world begins to open up. When you become very, very quiet. Very, very quiet. And you just sit quietly in a room without any music, any sound, and you meditate. And you get in touch with your body and your universe so well that you can hear your own heartbeat. Then you know that you're really in touch with the resource within you. And then you can begin to ask the question, am I there yet? Am I ready to go forward, to go to school, to go to work, to change jobs, to get married? Those questions will come up for you then, and the answers will be there. Any comments?
Well, that's where, if I want to put something where I want nobody to find it and memorize it, that's the thing I do.
Mm-hmm. So you memorize, if somebody gave you a resource that you didn't want to share with somebody else.
Yeah, like, to me, like, a lot of people consider their phone numbers a resource. So they give me their phone number. They don't want anybody else. They all need to memorize it. Then nobody else knows it.
That is a great example. Thank you for that example. Yes. So you would memorize it, and it's within you. And it is a resource for you.
Right.
I hope you don't mind, but I think I'm going to add that to the story later on when I'm telling somebody else that that's a great example for people
but
to understand.
But you cannot memorize very easily.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot memorize, okay? You know, writing it down in their own way to where they can memorize first is the best way for me anyways. I have to write things down in order for me to remember.
Right.
You know, and then I have a lockbox. That's where I put things that I know I'll need later in life and
your resources.
All my important resources go in the lockbox because I can't remember. I have too much other things going on for me to memorize anything.
Yes. Well, I like the examples you guys are coming up with.
Yeah.
I mean, memorizing your resource and also writing it down in a way that you remember it. And that's whether or not you have a learning disability or not. You know, everybody, you know, has some, I'd say, challenges, unless you have what we call a great mnemonic memory, where you just remember everything that goes on. Our brain... Go ahead.
I said I used to have one of those.
Oh, you used to? Okay.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, I never had one, so I'm glad to hear that from both of you. Because I'll tell you something. Whenever something came across that I had to remember, I always had to write it down somewhere myself. Now I just put it in my cell phone. I'll forget it. And then I use different ways of remembering inside of me with my memory. I associate, like if I'm meeting someone, I associate them with a movie star I know. So I use the process of association, right, you know, or something that I've come across already. Like even if I'm eating food and I meet somebody at a place where I'm eating food, I'll say I met them while I was eating eggplant or something like that. And then it sticks in my memory. And then, of course, if I ever see eggplant, then I'm always remembering that person. So little things.
Everything else from the word eggplant.
Well, you know, if I want to stimulate my memory, and I use something that I eat or use often, you know, and that's how I do it with association.
You
and
look
then
it up
making
in
sure.
A book. Under eggplant, and then it shows you. No, I'm being serious.
I can do that too.
You know, where you memorize.
Yeah, anytime I want to remember that person, I can just. you would be surprised on business cards, and I'll share this with the listeners because it's important, and we'll be doing a show on networking, and people assume that networking is just for business professionals. But networking is for everyone. You need to network and meet other people in your field because you never know. One day you may walk in and the person interviewing you for a job might be someone you went to school with. Okay?
Yeah.
So you always need to be aware that you never know who you're talking to. You could be talking to, you know, the next senator or the next president. Imagine how people went to school with President Obama. And now he's the president. I mean, can you imagine that? Looking up and saying, oh, man, I used to play basketball with that guy Barack. And look at him. He's the president of the United States now. So you never know who you're going to meet, and you need to take that resource, if you feel comfortable with it, and save it in some way so that you can remember who that person is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to move into now. Unless you guys have something to say further about this, I'm going to share something with you about elders and ancestors. I'm going to share with you that, and I want you to think about this very, very carefully. I want you to think about what someone has said to you, grandmother or whatever, relative, and they said something to you like, patience is a virtue. Anybody ever heard that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Patience is a virtue. Now,
my son tells me that all the time.
Yeah. Okay, now that's an old statement. And with that statement comes a lot of knowledge, because, I mean, what the heck are they talking about? Patience is a virtue. So actually, if your grandmother said it or, a relative said it, then what you're looking at is that becomes a resource now, okay? So you hide it inside yourself, and it comes up when you need it. Right, Ayanna?
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I bet you guys can think of... Okay, someone is having a fax machine sound on the line, so we want to make sure we mute our phone. Okay. All right. So what I would like you to do really quickly here is think about what kind of old sayings you have that that you remember as a resource. Take a moment.
You know, I actually put on your blog on the internet one of the most, it's a quote that I actually memorized a long time ago. And it's, it goes, no one can choose your mountain or tell you when to climb. It's yours alone to challenge at your own pace and time.
Say that again.
No one can choose your mountain or tell you when to climb. It's yours alone to challenge at your own pace and time.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, ever since I got that quote, like, I was 18. I've been pretty much living my life. I tell my mom that all the time when she tries to give me examples on how to live my life and follow, you know, not to follow her footsteps. And so I go back to that quote and let her know, no. This,
right. There was another one that my grandmother used to say a lot as a resource for me, and that would be, if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. I never really understood that totally until I, because, I mean, all dogs don't have fleas, number one, okay? But I understand what she means, you know. She wasn't a real big dog lover anyway, so... You know, for her, all dogs did have fleas, but the bottom line is, the bottom line is that she was saying that became a resource for me. That became something that became a support issue for me as the years went on. And the same thing about climbing your mountain. Let's see if we can come up with another one. There's got to be some more out there. Any other... Let's see. Oh, I've got one. How about this one? Why buy the cow when you get the milk free? Okay. Tom, what does that mean?
Well,
let's get into what these things
really
mean, too, okay?
Explain that to you.
Right. You know, if you've already got something going on in your life, okay, and it's good, you know, why should you invest any more money in it when it's already doing what it's going to do?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Oh, how about the one, that reminds me of one, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
How about that one?
Yeah.
Anybody remember that?
Yeah, huh. I remember that.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a really good statement to make. It's a great resource for us to remember. You see how these resources are already inside of us? They're already there. Okay? But we just don't think of them as resources, but that's what they are. Told us something. They became our teacher for a minute, and we became their student and listened to what they were saying, evidently. But we still come back, here we are years later, and still remember those things.
Yep.
So we remember them at the appropriate time, too, when we need them, right? When you need to talk about the mountain climbing, don't you go back to that resource, Ayanna?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're doing this morning, is that we're trying to get down to the real bottom line resources and what really is a resource, instead of having people assume that the resource is simply a brochure or a phone number.
Uh-huh.
It is those things, too, but it's deeper than that. Anybody want to talk about a resource that they've continuously used in their life? And I'm going to get, at this point, I wanted to let Tom talk about the motivation that he received as a basketball player and where that resource, excuse that background noise there, I'm trying to block that out, where the resource came from to make you one of the star basketball players. I mean, because you won some medals and you got some recognition on that basketball court.
Tell us a little bit
about the history of how you became part of that, please. So that
I was a paraplegic and I was injured in a car accident when I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got on a wheelchair basketball team. And I happen to have a level that they range you from where you get injured in your back to being, and if you're like a T7 or class 1, T8 to L3 or class 2, or, and then on down there. And I was a class 1, and I was a really good class 1, mainly because I just happened to get the right level, but I worked at stuff. I worked in my speed. I worked in my passing. I worked at defense. I worked at everything and just became a better basketball player. You know, and you have to have some things you have to have natural ability at to be good at, like basketball or I was never a great jumper. I never could slam dunk, you know, and able-bodied basketball, but some people can do that, the pros and stuff. And you just have these great natural resources, and then the ones you develop, and you develop them all together, and you become good at what you do. Like, I'm thinking of somebody, can't think of his name. 6'7".
That last part again, Tom.
What?
Say that last part again. We got a little muffled there. Just that last part.
Well, I'm muffled. I'm trying to think of a guy. There's a guy that's a really good basketball player, and he's 6'7", and I can't think of his name. Dr. J, you become like Dr.
J.
Or one of those guys.
Uh-huh.
Or Michael Jordan or whatever, you just become one of the great ones if you got the right resources and abilities. And if you know how to tap them.
So did you use other people like the Dr. J's and the other basketball players to kind of motivate you? Were they your resource?
Well, what I used is I had for my level of injury, I had just dynamite speed. And I could keep up with the threes and the twos, and I was just a one, which is phenomenal in the game to be able to do that. There were a few threes I could keep up with. But I could keep up with them and play defense with them and block their shots and stuff. And it just made me a great basketball player. Now, I admit there were some twos and some threes, but they just were a whole lot better than me, but they were the gifted twos and threes.
Okay. Now,
happened to have a better injury.
How did you know? Okay. So you use other players as a resource, and I'm sure your coach was a resource, right? And other players, just other players around you, your team, right?
Right, my team.
Right. So now, how did you know when you were really there, when you were really a good player, that this was good for you to do this? Because that's important for our listeners. You know what I mean?
Well, I just knew that when other teams wanted me to play for them, that I was a really good player. You know, I got recruited internationally. And that, well,
You mean it was an international game, or you became international?
Well, I shouldn't say internationally, but I got recruited all the way from Oklahoma, from Arizona to Oklahoma to play basketball.
Wow, I think that's quite an accomplishment, don't you guys?
Yeah,
all our listeners out there, you've got to see that as an accomplishment. Is it playing basketball as a paraplegic? Is that a very big thing?
Well, there's a lot of people who do it, but it's underrated because most people who play basketball are able-bodied. You know,
are in the what?
Most people that play basketball are able-bodied.
Oh, yes, yes.
But it takes a lot more skills to be able to play basketball if you're in a wheelchair. I mean, you got to be able to dribble.
Right, exactly.
Drive.
I think that it's absolutely fabulous. You see that happening, and I don't think we hear enough about people that are in a paraplegic or quadriplegic situation that play basketball and are doing such a great job with this. I mean, just like we don't hear a lot about people with learning disabilities going to college. And we've got to get the word out there that you can go, you can do things.
Right.
And that's what this radio show is all about. And that's why you're speaking right now. It's to let people know, hey, I played basketball as a paraplegic, and I did great with it. And it requires a lot of skill. I was recruited nationally across the country. And there's a lot of people that follow this. Are there thousands of people that follow this game?
Well, there's thousands of people in the game that follow it. I don't know how many international players there are or anything. There's a lot of people that follow it. Not like there should be, though.
Well, that's wonderful. And, of course, I understand due to your health conditions, you don't do that anymore.
Right. Well,
you
get
older. You enjoy the Special Olympics.
Special Olympics has to do with Special Olympics has to do with handicapped athletes that are usually
it's the same thing. They're out there. They're doing it. They're doing everything everyone else that has no disabilities do in the same sport. They're publicized all over the place.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But you know what, Ayanna? As much as they're publicized, there are so many people that don't know about Special Olympics. And they assume that everybody in Special Olympics is either, you know, he has Down syndrome or or physical disabilities. They're not even aware that Special Olympics is available to you if you have a learning disability or a mental health issue. You could be bipolar and you're taking medication, and you could qualify to play in the Special Olympics and have a great time doing it. So
yeah,
I don't really know.
I know that Special Olympics, in the days I knew of it, you had to have a DD label, which is...
I see. No, no, not now.
Developmental.
No, they've, developmental disabilities for our listeners out there. That's what he means by saying DD, that you were born with a developmental issue, and that's why people associate Down syndrome students with Special Olympics. But that has broadened in, the last 15, 20 years, Tom, that now they have opened up the Special Olympics to people who are even autistic. We've got autistic.
Glad I asked the question because I wasn't sure of the answer. I didn't know.
Yes, yes. And it's a wonderful thing, but you're right. It was very, very close. As services have been for people with disabilities that are not visible. You didn't have a visible disability. You didn't have a disability. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
And I mean, even now, it's still an education for our public, for our listeners out there, too, to know that there are people walking around on two legs, two arms, that work, their body works, but their mental health status or their cognitive, which means the way they learn, is slightly impaired, and they have to use different abilities in order to succeed.
Yes,
and we have to get that word out. That's very important. So I appreciate you. Boy, you guys bring out so many great things. I hope you continue to join us on the show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of young people that need to hear this, too. Now, I'm not going to get too deep with this because we're going to do a whole panel show on this in the future. But when you look at the violence that's going on in the schools today, the bullying and the violence that students are doing against people on campus, taking out AK-47 rifles and killing people. And then they go back and find out, oh, this person had some mental health issues early in life and nobody addressed them. Well, how sad.
Yeah.
But it's still no excuse to go shooting.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. That's true. There's no excuse to take another's life. But unfortunately, even though there's no excuse for it, the lives are taken.
Yeah,
we don't have an answer. Okay, but that 9-year-old little girl in Tucson that was killed just recently that is something that we really need to look at. Is why did he kill that 9-year-old little girl? You know, was it because we misunderstanding what mental health really, really is? And just because he wasn't in a wheelchair, we overlooked the fact that he was disabled. And we didn't see that. Mm-hmm. And they're admitting it now that there's a lot of students who have mental health issues that are not being addressed. Number one is because there's a lack of knowledge and experience by the teachers, by the administration. There's a lack of information out there. So knowledge and information out there is very, very limited. And third, and most importantly probably, is the fact that people are just embarrassed, doggone embarrassed, to say that their child has a mental health, unfortunately, to use the word deficit.
Yeah.
I don't want my child to be known to have a mental health deficit, so I'm going to overlook the fact that he's not doing well in school. I don't want to go to the meeting with his teachers and discuss this because he's my son or she's my daughter, and there's nothing wrong with her. And then as we go through the years, and there's sixth grade and then eighth grade, what happens?
The problems get worse.
Yeah.
And they get ignored more.
That's right. And so here we are now in community college or the University of Arizona or the University of or Virginia Tech, and we've got this individual who was diagnosed early in his life or her life, and now they're shooting up people. And everybody's saying, why? What happened? Why didn't somebody catch it? It's for those reasons that we just mentioned, my friends.
Yeah.
And you know, this is really something. You know that even teachers, believe it or not, now sit down when I'm telling you this, and all the listeners out there that are going to hear this, some of you are going to balk when I say this, but some of our teachers have mental health issues. Hello?
Yeah.
Some of them suffer from depression, anxiety. Some of them actually have learning disabilities, too.
Yep, it's all true.
No, they're a teacher. No. They're smart. They don't have any problems.
They're smart in their own way, yes, but
like we are.
Yeah.
Right. Student to teacher to student. All of us are students and teachers, and all of us are learning.
Well, you know, one thing that would really help us would be if parents and teachers owned up to their own disabilities and other teachers and their own kids' disabilities. Mm-hmm. My wife died of paranoid schizophrenia.
She died of the complications from paranoid schizophrenia?
Yes, she did. She
right, so she don't
suicide.
Die actually from the mental health disorder, but the complications that come up from it. We're very sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Anyway, but I couldn't get her brother or her father or her mother or anybody to come down and give her the medicine she needed to take to get well, and if I gave it to her, I had to worry about what would happen to me, whether I'd get hit or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just very backwards in this society when someone has a complication like that a parent or a teacher or sibling isn't willing to come forth and say, hey, I own this person, this is my brother or my sister or whatever, they have a disability, they need to be taking this medicine so they do better. You know? It's kind of in the closet.
In the closet, they don't, you know, now even parents don't want people to know that they have an autistic child and that the child is on medication. And they go through this process of let's hide it. You're very right. Let's hide it. And my friends, that's a resource that you cannot hide. Your child is going to have problems. And if you don't take care of them early, then the problems are just going to get worse. Anna, you have anything else to say on that? I'm sorry, do you have anything to say on that? Anything to say on people hiding? But, you know, the reason why I was kind of going Ayanna's way on this is because I know how proud she is of her son. Her son knows many languages, she was telling us last week, I believe. Right, Ayanna? Do you hear me? I don't know if she's still on the show or not, but we'll go forward. But the point is that she has a son who speaks languages, different languages, and he's on the honor roll program. We like to talk about our kids excelling from an honor roll perspective. Now, when they have learning disabilities or any kind of mental health issue, what do we say then? And I promise you, parents, there are things that you can actually say about your children. Find things to compliment your children.
Well,
it doesn't have to be their grades.
They're an honor roll student.
Yeah. You know what? Here's a surprise. I used to teach a gifted program out of Los Angeles. And do you know that many of the students in the gifted program had a lot of mental health issues?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, they were actually pretty much banging their... I had one that was just banging their head against the wall. But you sit them down and have them do a math problem or read a textbook. I mean, I'm seriously, read a textbook within a day, say. And he could read the text and tell you what it said.
Right.
And, but as far as behavior, there were a lot of problems.
Yeah.
A lot of problems. And so we can't just assume that just because someone is getting A pluses in school that they don't have any other issues going on with behavior or other health issues. It's all health. I mean, whether it's physical or mental health, it's still health, and we want to address health issues. Any other comments there?
I can't think of any myself. I know there's disabled students that do well in some areas, too. So, you know, they may have trouble reading but do great at math. Or do bad at math and great at reading.
Yes, and as we come to a close on the show, we've got a few more minutes left here, about 5-6 minutes, and we want to make sure that we don't have any listeners that we missed. Please feel free to call in, and even if you want to just share an affirmation or prayer with us, we are open to that. The number is 646-727-3758. We welcome international callers. The show is being broadcast all the way to China, to Africa, and we appreciate all of the thousands of listeners that are on, that listen to our show. So feel free to call in this last few minutes. Anybody out there right now that's a listener that would like to share a closing statement with about the greatest resource being you and how things that our elders, our ancestors, can stay with us and become a resource?
I know that Abraham Lincoln was probably antidepressive. I learned that in a book about...
Say that one more time, Tom.
Abraham Lincoln was probably antidepressive. Most people don't know that about him. But he had a dark side, and he used to be very depressed, but he was a manic depressive, more than likely.
Yes, my students. All of you, so much for joining us on the show this Saturday. And I just want you to remember, even though we did a whole series on when the student is ready, the teacher appears, we want to always keep that in mind, that when we think about the greatest resource we have, that greatest resource is you. My greatest resource is me, okay? And within that resource, though, let us not forget that that resource is provided by our God, by our Creator, by whatever name you choose to call God. We're not pushing religion here, but we do push a belief system that there is a creator, a loving, beautiful creator who provides a resource within us that we can tap into whenever we need to. And I can tell you right now that I don't talk about it much with my own situation and in a car accident and dealing with pain, that my greatest resource is inside of me, truly, but also my greatest resource is because I'm able to depend on the creation and know that the blood that flows through my heart at night when I sleep, I have no control of. Brain continues to work even when I'm sleeping, and I have no control of that. So, yes, the greatest resource is me, but then beyond that, let us not forget that there's a greater resource. We close our show today with much love and peace. We look forward to hearing from you next Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com, the student teacher to student radio show on the Internet. Thank you so much for calling in. Bye-bye now. Much love and peace.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Studio's fine. Everything's over. Huh? Everything's over now. Show's over. Give me a few minutes to wrap up everything and then we can talk. What you did. You gotta wrap up things. You're not finished working yet. You guys thought you were finished working?
Huh?
You thought you were finished working?
What?
Are you finished working?
Yeah.
Okay, because you only worked an hour. That's $5. Okay. You get paid $5 an hour.
Oh. We get cash all on our card.
Okay, I'll be with you in a minute. Tell everybody what I said, though.
Yeah, you only work 6 hours to really get 5 bucks. Hey, you work 6 hours when you get 5 bucks.
Well, you still can work some more. We still have to wrap up everything, okay?
You still
want to
work more? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be with you in a minute. Just let me finish this, and then I'll be able to work with you. Okay?
Can we go swimming later?
Yeah.
We brought a swimming trunk.
Mhm.
I brought mine.
I have some.
I'm kidding. Did I bring a swimming trunk? Okay. I brought you a swimming trunk. Last year.
Pull up the radio show.
Pull up the what?
Pull up the radio show. Put in Blog Talk Radio.
Hmm?
Put in Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Blog Talk?
B-L-O-G.
Okay, we pulled it up.
That's your grandmommy.
Yep.
Okay.
Where? Right here. You're discussing angry and violent adult students?
Not today. Today I discuss looking inside of yourself.
Twitter and Facebook. And what? Apple 2.4. Yeah, bro, website.
Mm-hmm.
Want to work some more?
Yeah, I
want to work some more.
I'm up for one,
because
I didn't do that.
Grandma, our plants are dead.
I know.
All of them. You try to act like that. You never water them.
Yeah, I do.
I water them more than you.
Thank you.
How much you gonna bet I
Yeah, when it gets cooler, I want to plant some more out there, okay?
Okay. Remember when we planted our tomatoes?
Mm-hmm.
And our
garlic?
Remember when we... No.
Tire needs to be fixed. You need to go fix a tire.
How?
Go to the gas station or go up to AutoZone. It's right up the street.
Can I get it fixed? Wait, what?
I'm going to let you figure it out. Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
Okay.
What's happening? I'm going to go to the gas station and get the bike fixed.
AutoZone.
Oh, I'm going to. I'll just walk. Wait.
Oh, did you know what I found out?
What?
If you're stopped by the police, not as a kid, okay? But if you're a grown man and you're stopped by the police and you don't have your ID on you, they can take you to jail.
Really?
And hold you in jail for 3 days until you prove who you are. Did you hear that? Tell your brother. I just found that out.
You're a grown man. Without your ID, they can take you to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I have my ID.
Yeah, but isn't that something?
I have all three of my IDs.
Yeah, isn't that something that they can do that? Okay, you need money.
I have money.
No, I'm going to pay for the bike.
Okay. I have 10, 11, 12, 11,
no, don't spend all your money.
I'm not.
Okay.
I end up with no money.
Well, I need to get my pay. I just wanted the points outside.
Okay, I don't think it should cost more than $20. Okay. All right. You can handle that much money? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll wait.
All right, remember. Oh, you know how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You probably are going to need two tires. Here, wait a minute, Jamie. How much did I give you? 20? Yeah, that should be enough. $20 should be enough.
Yeah, you gave me 20.
Yeah. Here, just take another $5 just in case. I hate for you to have to walk all the way back. Okay, make sure you bring me back my change. You spend your own money on stuff you want to eat. You know where AutoZone is?
Yeah.
Okay.